of some of the things that the Lord has taught us. Let me begin by going right back to when the Lord called me here 5.5 years ago. You know, each church is a unique setting, is a unique place. By the way, those of you in the sun, there are seats up here. If you want to make your way in, it'll be easier for you. I'm going to preach 3 hours today, so... When I first got here, I said, Lord, what do you want to do with Mahdi Community Church? And the Lord gave me, it wasn't a vision in the sense of, you know, like you read about the prophets having visions, but it was a very real image. And it goes back to the book of Judges. You remember when Samson was being used of the Lord to upset the enemies of God, the Philistines? And one of the tactics he used was he caught foxes and he lit torches of fire, tied it between their tails, and sent them, sent them into the fields of the Philistines. Remember that story? No? Anyway, it was a strategy, and what he did was he basically burned up their cash crops and thus destroyed their economy and severely affected their effectiveness as a nation. And that's the picture the Lord gave me for Mahdi Community Church, and I'm saying, excuse me? What does that have to do with the church's ministry? Well, I came in January of 92, and very quickly that next year, we hit May, when there was this mass exodus of people leaving. And coming from a more stable setting in Canada, where if you lost one family, it was a big event, to lose 15 to 20 families at one time was devastating. And I thought, God, how in the world are we going to survive? And the Lord reminded me of that story in Judges. And he said, Dave, I want this congregation to be a place where while people are here, they get so fired up for Jesus Christ that the fire of God is not in their tail, but in their heart. And that when they leave this place, they are released into the world, and wherever they go, they're going to burn up the territory of Satan and help establish the kingdom of God. Amen? It's been exciting to watch over the years how the Lord has been doing that. The Lord has called many people to faith in Jesus Christ from many nations. People who came here for various reasons, for business or for safety or for other reasons. But while they've been here, they've caught a glimpse of who Jesus is. They've been attracted to him. They've discovered him to be their Savior and Lord. They're growing in him. And when they leave here, they're going with a whole new reason for living. Some of you are leaving this year. Some of you are leaving the next week. Some of you are leaving over the summer. My prayer for you is that as you go, that you go with the fire of God in your heart. That you'll never be the same. And wherever you go, you will share the truth and the love of Jesus Christ and cause his fire to touch other people's lives. Not everybody has that same vision, that same desire. Over the years, some people have said, nah, I'd rather not be part of that church. And that's okay. That's understandable. But over the years, the Lord has brought many who have said, yeah, I want to be part of that vision. I want to be part of that church. Our numbers have grown. Consequently, we've had to go from one service to two services in there, and then to three services, and then we were going to have to go to four services, and they decided not to kill me. And so we moved out here onto the tent, built the tent, hard surface to floor. We've seen our numbers grow, and we've already made the decision that comes to the first week in September, we're going to have to go to two services under the tent in the fall because we anticipated growth over the summer. God continues to bless us. Praise the Lord. God is raising up people. He's bringing people in. He's bringing people from the community who are discovering Christ, and I believe that God is unfolding that vision. He's firing us up with the love and truth of Jesus Christ and allowing us the freedom because of our high turnover rate to keep sending people all around the world with that wonderful truth. I get excited about that, I must admit. Inside your bulletin, there's an insert. Some of you have already read it. Some of you haven't read it. Let me allude to it. It's called Here We Grow Again. And it's a brief overview of where our church is at and some of the decisions the church council has made with regards to our growth and what we anticipate God wanting to do with us in the future. Managing growth is always a difficult thing, but I tell you what, it sure beats managing death. It sure beats managing decline. It sure beats managing maintenance. Managing growth is hard because it stretches you to the limit. It requires things of you that you don't have, reserves that you don't know where you're going to get. But I say, Lord, if you're causing us to stretch and grow, I want to be one who's in there. Are you with me? How many of you want to be part of a church where the fire of God is real, where the truth of God is alive, where the love of Jesus Christ is being spread, and when you leave that place, you carry that fire around the world? How many of you want to be part of a church like that? There are options. There are churches all over the world that are just maintenance. Just go through the motions. And we could do that. But I don't believe that's what God is calling us to. I believe God wants us to reach out and touch more and more lives with Jesus Christ. And so we're going to take some risky steps and do that. We're going to believe God for miracles, multiple miracles that, quite frankly, we don't know how we're going to come to pass right now. That sheet is provided for you so that those of you who are leaving, those of you who are traveling to your home countries in the next weeks or months, you can take that. You put it on your fridge, there's a whole paragraph of prayer requests at the bottom. Pray for these things. Because unless God does these folks, it's impossible. It's impossible. But if God does them, pardon me, when God does them, we're going to see more and more of the glory of God, and we're going to see God continue His work in special ways. But it requires prayer. It requires a commitment to pray. And so I call you to join me and the leadership team in praying for those items. Also take that sheet home and duplicate it for your home church, for your pastors, for your friends. Get people around the world praying that God will continue His work here in Egypt. Amen? Amen? Amen. You want to be part of a church that touches eternity? You know, there's prophecies in the Bible about Egypt. I pastored in Canada for 13 years and saw God do wonderful things, but there's no specific promises in the Bible that deal with the church in Unionville. But you know what? There are promises of God in the Scripture that deal with the church of Jesus Christ in Egypt. And God promises to do great and mighty things. If you want to read about it, go to Isaiah chapter 19. Wonderful promise. And God has already made His promise to this land. God has already made His pledge. And we get the wonderful, wonderful privilege of being just a small part of that. But I want to be every part of that God wants me to be. You want to be a part of a church like that? I got three people saying yes. You want to be a part of a church like that? All right, good. Yeah, this is a pep talk. Sometimes we need that. I heard of a church back home, though. Black church, Southern States. You know, they tend to have a different flavor than some of our churches. Beautiful. Sometimes I wish I was black. I love the way African Americans move and Africans, and there's something, you shouldn't characterize them all, but I've been to a black church a couple times, and those times I say, Lord, why didn't you make me black? Anyway, they get into it, they move, and when the preachers preach, you know what, the people talk back. I love it. You know how I often ask you, I should have been black, right? Anyway, I love it. You know, you hear, preach it, brother. Or you hear people say, yes. Or they'll go and they'll answer to the pastor when he asks the question. No prompting. Anyway, the preacher was preaching one day, and he came to this new church, and he said, you know, the church hasn't been doing much for a long time. He says, we've basically been standing still. We've been doing nothing. He says, how many of you church want the church to stand still? Silence. How many of you want the church to walk? And people said, let it walk. Let it walk. All right. Okay, let it walk. He said, but you know, in order to walk, we've got to move from apathy to commitment. Let it walk, brother. Let it walk. All right. Okay, if we're going to walk, he says, how many of you want the church to walk, or how many want the church to run? Let it run, brother. Let it run. And the people chimed in. They want the church to run. They want the church to move. He says, well, if we're going to run, we got to move from commitment to involvement. Let it run, brother. Let it run. He says, okay, how many of you want the church to fly? How many of you want the church to really take off and be all that God wants to be? Let it fly, brother. Let it fly. He says, well, if we're going to move the church from standing to walking, if we're going to move the church from walking to running, if we're going to move the church from running to flying, then we've got to move from apathy to commitment to involvement to sacrifice. And people said, let it walk, brother. Let it walk. I believe God has a great vision for what He wants to do here. But you know what? God, for reasons beyond my understanding, has chosen not to do it alone. He's chosen to invite you and me as His people to get involved with Him, not because He can't do it without us, but because He wants us to share the joy of participating. He wants us to know the joy of victory. He wants us to experience the thrill of watching Him work in people's lives. And so He invites us to be involved. And a church, any church that is going to move from apathy to walking, to running, to flying for the glory of God, has to move from apathy to commitment to involvement to sacrifice. It doesn't happen any other way. It doesn't happen any other way. Can I share with you a burden on my heart this morning as your pastor? Please. All right. Somebody say, preach it, brother. In some ways, I think our church, although we have grown numerically, and our programs have expanded, and our budget has self-restrained. In some ways, I feel like we're still in the walking stage. In some ways, I feel like we haven't learned some basic lessons. And as your pastor, I need to alert you to that, and I need to address that with you. We've been trying to keep you up to date over the last month, month and a half of our financial issues in the church. And quite frankly, we faced a significant issue financially at the church as we move into the summer. Our finance committee and some of the council members had a meeting this week, and we were brought up to speed in terms of what our financial picture was like. And basically, I'm not a finance person, and so you can get the details from them. But bottom line is, we're hurting. And we're 24% below our projected giving to this point in the year, according to our budget. If you know anything about math, that's a lot. Which means that we obviously haven't spent what we had projected to spend, and going into the summer months, which is a real high point because of a bunch of issues in the budget, contractual issues and all of that, it means that we're going to be hurting if we can't pay our bills. They informed us that if we were to make it through the summer with the regular giving that is supposed to come in, on top of that, we will need a minimum of $9,000 just to be able to make it through the summer and cover off our basic responsibilities. If we're to bring ourselves back in line with our budget by the end of the summer, in addition to regular giving, we're going to need about $21,000. Now, if you're like me, you go, whoa, where are we going to get that kind of money? And it's an issue that I raise with you as a congregation because we're in this together. I remind you that earlier in the year, the church council worked long and hard, actually three or four times at the budget, cutting it back, realizing that we were in financial issues. And then we brought that budget to the congregation, or the membership. The membership approved it. And so collectively, we are trying then to move along that line of fulfilling those obligations. And I realize there's a lot of issues in there. We have incredibly wide variety of income levels in this church. Everybody from those who are being paid very, very well to those who can hardly put food on their table and struggle with where to find lunch today. I realize that there's many issues in the congregation, but I simply want to raise it with you. There's also another factor taking place that is not unique to our church. It happens in most churches. There are very few churches, actually, who get beyond this basic governing principle, not governing principle, but this basic reality. And that is this. It's called the 80-20 rule. And that is where 20% of the congregation provides 80% of the funds, and the other 80% of the congregation provides 20% of the funds. It also translates into all that goes on in the church, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and the other 80% of the people pick up the remaining 20% of the work. Now, I don't know what your family operates, but in my family, we wouldn't allow that to happen. All of my children have responsibilities. Obviously, we grade them accordingly. I don't expect of my 12-year-old what I expect of my 16-year-old or my 18-year-old, and I don't expect of my children what I expect of myself. But we all have responsibilities, we all carry our weight, and that's how family operates. And I realize in our congregation we have many different financial brackets, many people have different life circumstances, and we in no way want to imply that anybody is not doing their job, because I know that many of you are sacrificing regardless of your level. Some of you are making lots of dollars, and you're sacrificing a lot. Some of you are making almost nothing, and I see the sacrifice of your life, and I'm ashamed. Some of you who don't have any money to give, I see you staffing the all-night prayer meeting tonight, laying on your face before God, calling out to Him for mercy. It's often our Africans who are there praying all night. I see level of commitment from all sectors of our congregation, and my heart says, yes, Lord, you're doing it. But I also see a tendency toward apathy, a tendency on the part of some of us to just assume that because the numbers are large, somebody else has to be doing it. And so nothing's required of us. What would happen if we went to a restaurant for lunch this afternoon and the place was packed, and so you sat down and you had your meal, and when they came to give you the bill, you said, you know what, you got a lot of other people here, I think I'll just walk out and let them pay. Or how about if you went to a restaurant and you ate your meal and they brought you the bill and you said, no, I'm not going to pay today, you see, this isn't my home restaurant. My home restaurant is another one. I usually eat somewhere else. I'm just passing through town for a while, so I thought I'd eat here, but I pay back home. Illustrations are potent, aren't they? Dear friends, God has called us together. He's got exciting things in store for us. I really believe that. But it's not going to happen if we allow that 20-80% rule to function. 20% of this congregation cannot. We may make it maintenance. We may squeak by with the 20% doing their part. But we can't do it. We can't expand. We can't go from walking to running and from running to flying unless God puts in the hearts of more than 20% of us a passion to do our part in the ministry. And so this morning, I want to call you to commitment. In our staff meeting this week, we talked about the reality of this. And the pinch is felt in our staffing issues, in staffing volunteers. It's hard sometimes to get nursery workers. It's hard sometimes to get teachers. It's hard sometimes to get youth workers. It's hard sometimes to get people to work on our various committees. The larger our church has grown, you know, a strange phenomenon, it's harder to get people to serve on church council. When the congregation was 180 when I came, there were more than enough willing people to serve on council, and now, although we've multiplied our numbers, it's harder to find the people willing to serve. It's a strange phenomenon that happens, and I think it's part of this mentality that says, whoa, there's all these people that don't really need me. So, dear friends, this morning, I know this is a fireside chat, but I felt you're part of the body, you need to know. We're in a situation that requires us, if we want to go from standing to walking, from walking to running, from running to flying, then it's going to require all of us to say, Lord, how do I fit in here? What's my role? Not my brother or my sister, but me, oh Lord. What do you want me to do? That's the broad principle, and I believe that as we apply that broad principle, dear friends, we're not only going to get through our summer. We're going to start to lay a foundation that allows us to move on in ministry where we're going to see exciting things happening. I mean exciting things happening. And so I ask you again, do you want to be a part of a church that stands still? Do you want to be part of a church that walks? Do you want to be part of a church that runs? You want to be part of a church that flies for the glory of God. Let it fly. Some of you Texans can say that well. That's the long-term pattern, and only you can settle that between you and God. Nevertheless, we do have an immediate need that faces us, and that is our financial issues leading into the summer. We've met this week. Our church council met this morning during the Friday school hour, prayed about this, talked about it, and has made a decision with regards to how to address the immediate need, and that's what we bring to you this morning. Your staff have decided that we can give, and so the staff is going to give $4,500 towards this need. Church council met this morning. They're willing to pitch in $4,184. So as a result this morning, we've already, this is in addition to regular giving, we're already, as a result of this morning, up to $8,684. And if we're going to aim, if we're going to leave the goal at $9,000, then we can do that with pocket change this morning. But if we want to reach the $21,000 mark or get near that, then it's going to require all of us to say, Lord, what's my part? I realize for some of you it may be nothing. It may mean going to the prayer meeting tonight because you have nothing else to give, but you can give your time. For some of you, it may mean something else. And this is not a guilt trip. It's no arm twisting. All I'm asking is, will you pray? Will you ask God what your part is? Because if God is motivating you, then it's nobody manipulating you. It's God building His church. It's Him doing His part. But I felt we needed to at least treat you as responsible members in the body of Christ and let you know the need and let you know that we're taking steps toward that. And to ask you if you would join us in that commitment. We talked this morning in our council about giving you an opportunity to indicate, and I realize we haven't given you lead time, and if you want that, take it. But if some of you are here this morning and you say, I want to be part of that, then we want to give you an opportunity to do that. And so we're going to hand out little pieces of paper, and you can just, you don't know names, you can just put a little figure on there, if there is, or whatever you feel God is prompting you. We'll pass those in. We're going to have our treasurer tabulate them at the end of our congregational meeting this morning. We'll let him read the number, and we'll all rejoice together. Is that a fair strategy?
Let her walk.
Okay. Who do we have ready with the papers? Anybody? Who's counsel? Somebody's counsel. Run and get the papers from upstairs, and we'll have those handed out. While we're doing, let me share this story with you. I realize that after this church service, there's another congregational meeting at which some votes are going to be taken. And I realize that after my talking to you about money this morning, it may make your vote very quickly. You know, get the guy out of here. But you know, that's not the most important vote this morning, what we're going to be voting on. The most important vote this morning is God's vote on us. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for the heart who is fully committed to him so that he may show himself strong on their behalf." You see the imagery, friends? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. It's like God is in his heaven and he's looking down this morning. And he's looking across the whole earth. And he's trying to find somebody whose heart is committed to him. He's trying to find somebody who's saying, "Lord, here am I, take me." And he's trying to find somebody who will say, "Everything I am and everything I have is yours, Lord. You just tell me what to do and I'm in there." And the Bible says that when God finds that kind of people, when God finds those kind of individuals, he shows himself strong on their behalf. That's God's pledge. God is looking for not abilities, but availabilities. God is waiting for us to say, "Lord, here am I." I believe that the eyes of the Lord are looking all across the earth this morning to find churches like that too. Churches of people who will say, "Lord, we want to defy that 80-20 rule. We want to defy the belief that somebody else will do it. We want to move beyond the boundaries of just maintenance ministry. We want to don't just fill the role of walking and standing and holding our own. We want to walk. No, we want to run. No, we want to fly to the glory of God." And I believe that when God finds churches like that, dear friend, you better believe he's going to be ready to show himself strong on their behalf. That's what God wants to do. So I ask you this morning, it's between you and God. When God's eyes are looking this morning for people like that, do his eyes find you? If they do, then get ready for some very exciting days, because the Lord has bound himself in pledge to show himself strong. Here's Randy. We're just going to pass some papers out. If you have a pen, borrow one or whatever. Again, no obligation, but if God is prompting your hearts to do something this morning, just write a figure on the paper. This is hopefully within the next week or two is what we're looking at. This is above and beyond regular tithes and offerings. This is a special needs kind of focus, a special needs kind of offering.